with the ball, but we had some that were conditioned of lion. We had some that were conditioned of all kinds of, amen, uncurable diseases. Amen. It had all kinds of folks there. Amen. Had folks there, amen, just want to be nosy. Had some folks there, amen, that were called spectators. There had some there, amen, just was there to look, see what's going on. Can you say amen? And in the midst of all of that trial, amen, here come this man of four. Looked around at the crowd and said, take me forward. Can I get a witness? You got to sometimes look beyond your fault and say, Lord, take me forward. Huh? Sometimes you got to look beyond your circumstance and say, Lord, take me forward. How many of you? Sometimes you got to look beyond your brokenness and say, Lord, take me forward. Can you do it? Because all of these things can what? Cause, amen, discouragement. All of that kinds of stuff can cause you to feel bad and feel down, making you feel that God is not around. God is not there. God done left us. Let me tell you something. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So if he's with us always, stop letting the enemy come in and talk to your mind that he ain't there. Jesus is always there. Can you say amen? He's always there. But we got to learn, amen, the voice of God and the voice of the devil. Amen. Whenever the devil will come and tell you something good. How many here? You think he'll come and tell you? Say, that's, you think he's going to come and tell you with me here today? Say, man, y'all listen to some good preaching? If he had his way, he'll put all of you asleep. Can I get a witness? If it is his way, he have you coming in. Oh, it ain't nobody but us. Well, ain't going to be nobody but us leave here. Don't you know what I mean by nobody but us? Every one of us going to leave here, amen, together. And then we're going to meet together in air, shaking, amen, and praising God. Hallelujah. Going home to be with the Lord. How many hear what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, I'm looking for that day. It's right around the corner. Can you say amen? So he went up on top of the roof. Well, back in them time, it was, amen, they had what they call flat roof. It wasn't like a roof like this. It wasn't no church roof, a roof that you have to climb way up top. It was just a flat roof. And the way they went up on the roof, in those days, those homes, they had what they call stairways to take you to the roof. So they brought him around the back and went up the stairway and went up on top of the roof. Boy, look at this man's face.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you.
Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Thank you.
you're in need of prayer this morning, I want to invite you to the altar at this time. The Lord is available to you now in your time of need. Whatever the hurt, whatever the pain, whatever the affliction, He's a deliverer. He's a way maker. As a matter of fact, the Lord is your shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And here's the part I like. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Father, we look to You now because there is no other help that we know. And we look to You, God, because Your word teaches us that You are a very present help in the time of trouble. Help us now, we pray. God, we all stand in need of Your mercy right now. We need Your grace right now. Because God, if the truth would be told, we haven't done all that we should have done. Many things that we, Lord, should not have done, we did anyway. But we thank You right now that Your mercy is following us. We thank You right now that grace is following us, such that when we mess up, oh, we're so happy today to know that You're the kind of God that looks beyond our faults. You see our need. We need You right now. In the name of Jesus, we need You right now. In the name of Jesus, have mercy, we pray. Have mercy, we pray. The bereaved families, God, they need more grace right now. They need peace and comfort and strength, right? Give them peace, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's having financial problems. Oh, but we thank You for the Sunday school lesson this morning that lets us know that You are a creator God. Oh, God, that You made provision for us. And we just trust, we just believe, God, that where there is lack, if we will look to You, if we'll call upon Your holy name, You'll make a way for us. Thank You for making a way. Bless our church, oh God. We've been running a long time, but we're here one more Sunday to let You know we're not tired yet. As long as You're with us, as long as we have Your favor, as long as we have Your grace, we know that everything will be all right. Touch someone's heart that's here today, God. They haven't given their life to You. But Father, we pray that through the songs and through the prayers and through the word, oh God, that some lost soul would come running saying, what must I do to be saved? For these are all blessings. We thank You. We give You praise. 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 Because you told us that when we pray, to believe that what we've asked for, believe that it's already done. Come on, church, bless Him right now for being a wonderful, loving God. Thank You. Bless Him right now for making a way out of no way. Give somebody a hug. Shake somebody's hand. Let them know by faith it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank God for our wonderful choir. Beautiful selection. Amen. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. Our deacons are coming now as we prepare to worship in giving. And I said worship in giving, because giving is as much a part of worship as singing and praying. Amen. The Bible says that he will bless the cheerful giver. Amen. The Bible teaches us that we're not to give out of necessity. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 22 through 29. Y'all are praying for me, aren't you?
Amen.
And I know someone is wondering, why is Pastor doing everything today?
Amen.
It's because I have a plane to catch at 2 o'clock. And I know that can't nobody keep us on schedule better than me.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Verses 22 through 29, there you will find these words. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about the value of worship. The value of worship. Thank you. Ushers, thank you. Worship, my brothers and sisters, for many people has become an insignificant part of our weekly fellowship. Too many people come to church for everything but worship. But I've stopped by this morning to tell you that the central thrust behind everything we do ought to be worship. Tell your neighbor, it ought to be Godward. And not manward. Amen. Tell that other neighbor, it ought to be to lift Jesus up. And not to lift us up. Amen. It ought to be to magnify him and not ourselves. But the devil. I told y'all in our Bible study, he's a bad fellow. Amen. He's a bad fellow. The devil, even if you take the D off of his name. Oh my, he's still something to contend with. But the devil has slipped into many of our churches, and now more people are concerned with their agendas than the agenda of Almighty God. And when you think about it, what a noble agenda God's agenda is. Amen. Think about his agenda. His agenda, on his agenda, he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. And do you know what the implication here is that if we will just hook up with God's agenda, sons and daughters will be saved. Husbands and wives and friends and loved ones will be saved if we will, amen, get on God's agenda. I tell some folks sometimes who don't really have a heart for worship, I tell them, I say, if you need a selfish motivation in order to worship, amen, you ought not have a selfish motivation, amen. But if you just have to have a selfish motivation to get your worship on, to get your praise on, if you need a selfish motivation, just think about the fact that if you will but lift Jesus up, your son might get saved. If you will but lift Jesus up, your daughter, your wayward daughter might come home and give her life to the Lord. If we lift Jesus up. But our primary motivation ought to be, I will worship God, watch this, simply because of who he is. Anybody know him this morning? I'm talking about the Prince of Peace. Do you know him? I'm talking about the everlasting Savior. I'm talking about the wonderful Counselor. I'm talking about what our Sunday school lesson said this morning. He is our Creator. Amen. Amen. You ought not need millions of dollars in the bank to worship God. You ought not need a new car on the parking lot to worship God. You ought to worship him just because of who he is. Now, somebody's looking at this text this morning and saying, preacher, I've been to Bible school. I've been to Bible college. I've been to the cemetery. Amen. I mean, the seminary. Amen. And they don't line this up, this passage you're dealing with worship. A whole lot of stuff, amen, you can get out of it, but I don't see how you can get worship out of this. But that's what I love about the Word of God. Because if you get in the Spirit, God can speak through any message, can he? He can speak through one passage in many different ways. And so I want to draw some parallels between what Peter does here in our text and what we ought to be about in our worship. We know the story of how the disciples here are on a ship and the sea becomes turbulent and the billows are tossing high and the disciples are getting all bent out of shape, fearing for their lives. They're in the midst of a storm. Anybody ever been in a storm? I heard somebody say either you're coming out of a storm, you're in a storm, or just keep on living. Your storm is coming. Amen. These disciples, they're in the midst of this storm. I know that we all have had storms in our lives. We've all been aboard some ships. Some that Jesus told us to get on. And some we just got on. But for whatever the reason, we found ourselves in the midst of a storm. It looks as though the ship is sinking, and even though you know how to swim, the waves are such that swimming is an impossibility. But right in the midst of this storm, amen, Jesus shows up. Oh my, he'll show up, won't he? If Daniel were here, he would tell you he'll show up in a lion's den. If Moses were here, he would tell you that he'll show up even when you're confronted with the great sea. Is there anybody here at Pleasant Hill this morning, amen, who can testify with me that the Lord will show up? I thank God for their testimony, but I have to testify for myself. Because I've been on some storm-tossed seas, and I'm a living witness that the Lord will show up right when you need him the most. Somebody said he may not come, Sister Jaleesa, when you want him. Oh, but he's an on-time God, isn't he? But here they are in the middle of this storm. And if you've ever been in a storm, you know that the last thing we usually think about in the middle of a storm, the last thing we would be on our minds is praising God. Lord, I'll praise him when it's over. but when we're in the midst of the storm, we're saying, how can I get out of this mess? We're saying, what can I do to bunker down here so that at least I can get through it with my life being saved? The last thing we think about in a storm is worshiping God. In our text, the disciples are fearful and afraid of the storm, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. Did you hear what I said? I said, here comes Jesus. I said, walking. I didn't say running. I said, walking on the water. He ain't in a big hurry. He's not looking over his shoulder as if to be caught by surprise. He's simply walking on the water. And y'all, I believe that his walking here is indicative of the fact that he's got it all in control. Amen. Amen. You don't ever find in the Word where the Lord is in a big hurry to do anything. As a matter of fact, when you look at God over in the book of Revelations, it says he's sitting on his throne. He ain't pacing the floor. Y'all know how we get. Amen. He's not up all night. Amen. God ain't worried about nothing because he's got it all in control. We need to learn to be patient like the Lord. Stop allowing the devil to have us continually on the run.
If we could just learn here like Jesus that as God's children, God has given us dunamis, power, amen. Power so that we might put the enemy and all of his wicked devices under our feet, the same waves that the disciples were ranting and raving about Jesus puts them under his feet. If you know anything about the Holy Ghost, you know that with the Holy Ghost comes power. And my brothers and sisters, a lot of stuff that we put up with from the devil. Amen. I thank God that he delivered me from people a long time ago. Sister Gunn, people used to bother me. Amen. Every time I would hear something folk was saying about me, I'd be up all night crying and couldn't sleep. And amen. But like Bishop Morton said, they made one mistake. They kept on talking. And now I just laugh at stuff. Amen. Now I got so bad with it, I asked, well, what are they saying now? And every now and then somebody say, I ain't heard nothing lately. I said, oh, I'm going to have to do something. Say, amen. Oh, my. But God has given us power to put some stuff under our feet. Amen. Do you know that with the Holy Ghost comes power and you have power to walk on some stuff? Amen. We can walk over it. We can have the victory over the devil's devices. We can say, devil, no weapon formed against me. You remember what he told Joshua? He said, man, wherever the soles of your feet shall tread, amen, it's going to be yours. Tell your neighbor, put some stuff under your feet. Put it under your feet. So Jesus makes his way to the ship. Walking on the waters, and the text says the disciples became afraid because they thought Jesus was a ghost. But Jesus speaks out to them and tells them not to be afraid. And thank God, the Bible lets us know that Peter recognizes the voice of Jesus. That's my first point. My first point, amen, as it relates to worship. In order for you to worship God, you have to have had enough interaction with him to recognize his voice when he speaks. Oh, do I have any witnesses here today who have walked and been in church long enough to recognize that not every voice that says they're speaking for Jesus is Jesus? You better learn how to recognize his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not hear. If you're to worship God, my brothers and sisters, you've got to know him. You ought to be able to feel his presence. Know that he's in the midst of his people. And let me suggest to you that it's kind of late to get to know him when you get in the middle of the storm. Will you help me, priestess? Amen. I know. I hear your sentiments because I've been there, been in churches, and the preachers are always saying, tap your neighbor, turn your neighbor. And I'm like, Lord, if he tell me to turn to somebody else, I'm sorry. I apologize. But just help me preach this last little thing here. Nudge your neighbor. Amen. Tell your neighbor, amen, that you've got to know him. Amen. Don't wait for the storm to try to get to know the Lord, but while things are going well for you, when you have money in your pocket, when you have food on your table, when you've got a suit you can pull out of your closet, when you have real friends that crowd your door, that's when you ought to get to know him. Because if you wait until the storm comes, the devil, remember now, the devil operates in fear. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, so that tells us fear is from the devil. They were already afraid of the storm, and now here comes this ghost, they think, walking on the water, and now they are doubly afraid because they think he's a ghost. And the devil wants us to operate in fear, because when you operate in fear, you can do some crazy stuff. I said, you get scared enough, you can do some crazy stuff. Amen. I got an alarm system at my house, and I know some of you've heard the story. I got ADT, amen. And so I sleep comfortably because I know God is with me, but you know, I got ADT too. Just, okay. And this one night, I guess I was relying more on ADT than I was on God because my alarm went off. And all I could think of, if it's going off, that means they already up in here. And if you've never seen a 185-pound man roll up out of the bed, amen, grab his pistol and roll on the floor. You know how they do in those police movies? I was on the floor and I was ready for him, amen. And y'all, I'm glad God ain't like ADT. Because while I was there on the floor with my gun, amen, the phone rang and I answered the phone and the lady said, "This is ADT, your alarm has gone off. Do you want us to call the police?" I said, "They ain't on their way yet. Do I want you to call them?" Amen. But what happened is the weather had changed, a little moisture had gotten on my window, and the little lead in the window had just come detached. Amen. There I was about to shoot up some stuff, I'm here to tell you, fear will mess you up. The devil wants you to operate in fear so you can't think straight. Amen. You end up hurting yourself. They were probably ready to jump into the water because they thought that was a ghost coming. I can imagine, I can hear them. Y'all stay in here if you want to, but I would rather deal with these storm-tossed waves than to try and battle with this ghost. The devil will mess you up with fear. But God has not